Judge Stark, something else he also mentioned was, let's say you have your motions day and your five motions come up, and some of these, the motions get denied. And when they do get denied, that means, I guess that means that there may be a factual dispute and it can't be resolved as a pure question of law. And then the case proceeds forward. Does that mean the defendant has no chance to maybe get it resolved on summary judgment because you've made that upfront initial determination? I don't know if that made sense to you.
It did. So if the decision was on step one of Alice, so the defendant has failed to meet their burden to show that the claim is directed, you know, to an abstract concept, then I don't think I've seen an ability for the defendant to renew their challenge later. But if, and this is what you're implying, it's a decision at step two that the plaintiff has, at least if you take as true the well-pled, plausible, factual allegations in the complaint, and therefore under Berkheimer, there's factual dispute as to whether the invention, you know, was routine, well understood, and conventional, then, yeah, the defendant can ask again, at least in our court, at the summary judgment stage, and say, you know, as it turns out, the plaintiff has not come forward with actual admissible evidence that a reasonable jury could believe at step two, and therefore grant summary judgment of no patent eligibility. The implication of all that, and I believe it's happened in the Eastern District of Texas, but I don't think it has happened here in Delaware yet, is if the defendant loses that summary judgment motion, then the issue, the 101 issue, should go to the jury at trial. And I my understanding is that has, in fact, happened in the Eastern District of Texas. It has not happened yet here in Delaware, but it seems like that is the logical conclusion if the defendant fails at the summary judgment stage.
Judge O'Grady, is that similar in EDVA, that it could get to the jury, if possibly?
You know, it, as we are stating, it's evolving. And, you know, 3 years ago, the 101 was an issue of law that the court decided, as it would in a Rule 12 motion. And I think that now it has evolved into issues of fact, and it should go to the jury if there are issues of fact. So so that's I didn't realize that the Eastern District of Texas had had a case go through a trial with a 101 added to it. But I think that's where we're heading, absolutely.
And, I mean, even if there are underlying fact questions, I mean, it can still be a question of law or a conclusion of law based on underlying fact. And in that case, the judge has a role to play in that ultimate conclusion.
Through the instructions, through the jury instructions.
And actually, that was the next thing that Judge Michel had on the list here. He said, well, what about jury instructions? Would the instructions be something different than what's happened in the past, something unique? Because now, all of a sudden, in these patent disputes, maybe there might be these 101 questions that actually percolate all the way to the jury, which means now the instructions are going to have to be tailored so they can basically resolve the right thing and not the wrong thing. And does the court, I guess, have to be careful to make sure that those instructions are properly tailored for that kind of an issue?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just sort of just speculating. I'm not sure.
You know, we have model patent instructions, but you know, they've evolved over a number of years and been tested at the Federal Circuit, and the 101 instructions have not yet. And we've got this evolving body of law, and I remember when Judge Moore came out with the initial decisions, which have evolved into the where we are today, and clearly there were severing out factual issues, and that the district courts are going to have to address them. So I have not had the pleasure of trying to craft any to date, but I anticipate that will happen.
And Chief Judge Stark, did you hear that question, and do you have some input on that?
I did hear all that, and I agree with everything Judge O'Grady said. I believe at least Chief Judge Gilstrap in Eastern District of Texas has confronted this and crafted, with the help of the parties, instructions on 101. And I don't have them in front of me, and I haven't had to do it myself, but I imagine that they track the articulation in the Alice decision of what the step two test is. I think the evidence that comes in probably looks a lot like the obviousness evidence, but it is at least slightly different, and so I would assume that the jury needs to be instructed specifically and differently on 101 than on obviousness.
And if the court is evaluating this type of question, looking at maybe potentially a jury making fact findings about things that underlie a 101 question, is that the kind of fact question where the jury would be permitted to hear expert testimony from each side on that fact question, just like other fact questions?